welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. In the Mentor Moments series, we revisit some of our most popular and impactful entrepreneurs and their episodes. And this week, we're chatting to Susie O'Neill from AU. Susie is a phenomenal entrepreneur. I took a lot of lessons from Susie. The one thing that stuck with me, and I hear this from so many entrepreneurs, is initially, you might have to start with doing things that just don't scale. We all want this grand vision, scaling rapidly to millions of users. But sometimes at the very start, the most important step is going from zero to one. 0 euro to 1 euro. 0 customers to 1 customers. That is often the most important step. And Susie shares a really detailed plan of just how she did that. And it's quite surprising. This episode is brought to you by Sage. Sage is the number one provider of payroll, finance, and HR software to small and medium-sized enterprises all across the globe. To learn more about Sage, visit the link in the description below. And now, here's our Mentor Moments episode with Susie O'Neill.
Then I just remember saying to Alan one day, I'm just going to get up. I'm going to do my face. I'm going to get myself back in order again. And I just decided I'm just going to do my own makeup like I normally do it. And I did. And people started to respond to it. And I said, well, maybe I can just do what I want to do. And this will work this way. And it did. I started to get much more traction. There was much more views coming on videos. Like they went from a couple of thousand views to some now, like they'd be over a million on them in the Facebook kind of realm. Like, but it was down to the thousands back then. They were going, because everyone just wanted this simple, like clean makeup that I was doing, you know, and that I wanted, but I was kind of brainwashed by other people at the time thinking, oh, you'll get this, you'll be so successful if you do
this.
It's
funny though, even we go against our gut and we go against what got us to the dance in the first place, and we go against like, oh no, they must know. They must know better. And like, I'm number one guilty of this. Like, I always look at other people go, yeah, they must definitely know what they're talking about. I'll try that. And it's when you go back to your gut and you're just honest and open and just even talk to people honestly and openly, it's such a difference.
Yeah, big time. And that's why ever since then, I just go with my gut. So if my gut's telling me something isn't right, I'll just say no. And even if it looks like a really good offer doing something, I'll still say no. Because I know myself now what works and what doesn't for me. And what I know, I always kind of say to myself, as long as I can go to bed at night and put my head to the pillow and know I've done an honest day's work and I haven't hurt anybody or I've tried to help somebody, then that's all I need, you know. But if I go to bed and there's something unsettling, then I know, no, this can't. It's not right, you know.
It's a horrible feeling. It's a horrible feeling when you go down that path and you're like, I'm fighting against everything. So how did that change things around for you then? Was it as simple as that of just kind of getting out of the road, getting back to your authentic self?
Well, getting back to myself, and then I brought the brushes back to the coloring that I wanted at the start. So they weren't colorful anymore. They were just muted classic tones. And from that, see, when the videos then started to get loads of traction, people, at the time I was doing private lessons, and people started asking, did I travel to Cork? Would I travel to Kerry? Would I go here, there and everywhere? And I kind of was like, no, well, I can't. But how do I bring myself to them in a way? So we started doing these classes all over the country, makeup classes. So they started with 25 people in a class. And when we finished up before COVID, we had a days out of 400 per day,
really?
You know. So we were everywhere. We were all over the country. So for weeks, we would do them in slots kind of 3 months, and we would be every weekend away, and we would do maybe 2 or 3 shows at a weekend. And from that, again, I was listening to women telling me all the time what their issues were with makeup. You know, oh, I don't like this palette, has loads of colors. I just want simple. And that's how our first cosmetic actually came by, because I wanted just an eyeshadow palette that was really simple to use, would suit everybody. And it was them telling me, like, and that's what I still do now. Everything we bring out is, it come from our customers telling me, you know, oh, I like this, but I kind of would prefer to be like that. And then I'm like, like, I wonder, can I make that? Can I fix that? Can I make it easier and more condensed for them?
That's so interesting, though. Talk to me about those classes. Did that just organically started to happen? You started getting requests, and then you started doing them.
Well, I started getting requests for all these lessons. So I just put up on Facebook one day, if I was to come to Kilkenny next weekend, you know, would you come? And people were like, yes, please come here. Please
for
come
one
there.
Day only.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. Like that we now, granted, the first class only had 25 people, but they sold, you know, within an hour of me putting them up. And
wow.
You know, this is something, you know, I didn't know people paid to come to see me, you know, and then we started, and it was so basic at the start. Like, we just had a little table at the top of a room and my makeup kit. My sister was my model, and we had no cameras, no screens, nothing, you know. But as we went along and the numbers got bigger, obviously we started to get better with our production, and it just grew. And again, those classes then allowed me to invest in the cosmetics and to go in, because obviously minimum order quantities for cosmetics are huge. So like, it's not a cheap thing to do in any form. So having done all those classes, again, it gave me the confidence as well that, okay, well, if this many people are coming to see me, then I think they will want what I make too, you know. But I remember when we launched the eyeshadow palette, it was our first cosmetic. And again, because I didn't have loads of money, I put all the money that I had into getting this palette, but I didn't have enough money for a graphic designer to do the artwork. So the artwork on it was from Microsoft Word. It was me just putting a little stamp on something and, you know, trying to make it. And when they came in, they went really well. And myself and my husband, Alan, and the two kids were bubble wrapping eyeshadow palettes and putting them in envelopes and handwriting, because I had no label maker at the time, but getting them all out to people.
So you had the brushes. You were doing the brushes, and then you started doing the classes. And then from the classes, people kept kind of referencing certain things to you, and you had that moment then of thinking, well, how did you come up with the cosmetics?
Well, you see, it was always a dream of mine to have. I always said when I was kind of in business, or like when I was starting this, I was like, I'd love to have that my whole makeup bag was my own brand.
Okay. You know,
I could do my whole face with my own brand. But again, I never thought, I kind of at the time, I didn't think people would want it. I didn't have the confidence to think that if I, you know, sold something, why would they buy mine if they could buy Mac or Bobbi Brown or something, you know? But then when I was just talking to the women, and I had a connection with them, because I think I've always tried to be very honest. Like, I don't come on always made up, and I allow people to see my skin as it is and what I look like, you know, at any given time of the day. I'm not vain in the fact that I feel I have to be perfect all the time. And I think people related to that because they were so sick of seeing everything airbrushed all the time.
Especially on social media as well. I think it's refreshing when there's an honesty.
Exactly. You know, and we all know that, you know, even if you're super successful, you have a bad day, and it's okay to have that. And people need to know that not everything always goes to plan, you know, that there are times where it all falls asunder and you're just trying to keep your head above water. But by listening to them, I kind of thought I wanted to do the eyeshadow palette, and I just thought, well, I think this is something, it could work for everybody. So I kind of thought I only need to make one. And I said, I'll just do one this year, one product. And just see how it goes. But the eyeshadow palette had no quicker launch than I was already onto the next. And I said to Alan, I was like, oh, I just have to do this one more this year.
How far in your journey was this? How far along into, say, the brushes and everything was this?
Well, we only launched the cosmetics 3 years ago. Okay. So this was kind of 4 years in. But, you know, taking into account that I had my little kind of break in it as well at the time. I had another child, I have a daughter, Chloe, as well. So she was in there in the mix as well. But when I started doing the classes, it was like a light turned on. It was almost like, because even friends of mine were like, God, it just happened overnight. And I was like, well, no, it didn't. I've been at this for years. Like, I've been trying for ages.
Every weekend. You've never seen it. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
So it kind of just felt like it was all, once that started, then it changed us all together. It changed the business. It really kind of went from here to up here.
The cosmetics.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So how did you handle that transition? Because a single product, how did you handle going into a whole new sphere?
Do you know, I do a lot of, I spend a lot of time listening to audiobooks and podcasts like yours, and I do a lot of work on myself. Okay. So to be honest, I feel like I was in training for it, because a few times throughout the first few years of AU, I hit a self-destruct button where there would have been really good opportunities that I could have taken that I didn't, because I had that thing of like, I'm just going to stay small enough that, you know, people won't notice me. And like, I won't take that. I wouldn't push myself off the edge to do the hard stuff and to take the risk or whatever. So I think then I started trying to really work myself, and I really doubled down on it. And I was listening to a lot of books and watching a lot of things, and it kind of brainwashed me, I think, to kind of think, well, maybe I can do this too, and try and take it all in my stride rather than panic and retreat like I would have done in the past. So when the cosmetics started to get big, I something in me was like able to handle it this time. I didn't shy away. And then from there, I have a really good team now. I was still on my own when it started to grow quite big, but it came a point then. And I always say to people, I was probably a year or two later employing people than I should have been as well. But again, that was just probably a fear thing of like, am I going to be able to pay them at the end of each month and having somebody else's livelihood on my shoulders, you know? So when I did take the girls on, like when the first girls came on board with me, these things changed how I did stuff as well, because all of a sudden all the pressure wasn't on my shoulders anymore, and it was kind of evened out. And I felt secure enough at that point that we were at a level where I could pay people without panicking, you know. So it just seemed, I think all the audiobooks, and I always say to people, I know you said before as well, it's the right book at the right time. Yes. And I think I said it to you ages ago when you were talking about books, about Mel Robbins' 5-second rule. Mm. It's just an amazing book. And I think I must have just read it at the right time. And it's like, even now, I still in the morning time when I'm getting up at 6 to go for my run, I still sometimes have to say, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.